verses there. But I could hardly be more excited to share this message with you this morning. In the Christian life and as a church, celebration is an important spiritual practice, and it's important to take time to pause, to reflect on God's goodness and discern where he's been at work and listen to his voice and what he's asking us as a people to do next. And so this morning is a Vision Sunday, or something sometimes what's called a State of the Church address at the beginning of a year. And our last Vision Sunday was more than a year ago in the fall of 2005, after we had been here almost 6 months. And that was our first attempt to sort of lay out and discern some things God was saying and directions he was moving us in as a church. And it's an important message which contains some words of prophecy and pictures that the Lord had given us as a church. And so if you're really kind of wanting to feel the heartbeat of the church and be all in, you can encourage you to listen to that to get a sense of that. But this morning, I want you to feel that you have been a part of really a historic stretch in our church, and I'll tell you why and how as we go. But you are a part of history, a part of building a foundation for a legacy that I believe will continue on for decades and generations to come. And being a part of a church community, of course, it's not just about the immediate, the here and now, and just about us, but it's about leaving a legacy and laying a foundation so that the church can continue to reach future generations, continue to be a presence and a blessing in its community, and to bless people and radiate the presence of Christ and give and offer hope to the hurting who are around us. So every time you walk into this building, every time you sow into the church with your gifts and your worship and your ministry of presence, you are a part of continuing to build a foundation so that future people in the coming weeks, months, years, and generations can continue to be impacted. And so I love being a part of a local church community. I believe in it with all my heart. I have a grand and yet hopefully also realistic vision of the importance of each and every act that takes place in here. Every act of worship, every prayer that is prayed, every person who has hands laid on them in prayer, every child that is ministered to, the word that is preached and proclaimed into the spiritual realms. I mean, it's special what happens in here every week. And I love it. I love it. And so this morning, I want to do kind of two things as we do a bit of a State of the Church address here, laying out where we've been and are going. First, I want to look at kind of the big picture, the macro view. And then in each section, I want to bring it down to each of us to move into the more micro or practical implications of all this, meaning what is God calling us to day in and day out, each week and month, in response to the overall grand work and the grand narrative that God is writing and creating for our church. For all of us have a part to play if we're listening to the Holy Spirit. And so I'll draw on a few of these verses that we read to highlight a few key themes that I think God is calling us to and pressing into as a church. So to organize this talk, I want to highlight three categories or things to help us assess where we are in our different ministries. Three words the Lord kind of laid on my heart as we were doing some visioning back in the late summer with the board and the leaders is these three words that I've used for an outline this morning: find, follow, and flourish. And I don't know if these are the official words that will make it into our mission statement that we're drafting right now, but something like this is really what we're all about as a church. Finding Christ, helping people encounter the God of all creation and the love of Jesus Christ. And then following Christ, helping people learn how to follow Jesus in joyful obedience, where they find his ways attractive and appealing. So that's discipleship. And then flourishing in Christ, meaning helping people become everything they were meant to be and designed to be as people created in the image of God, and then therefore bringing that flourishing in their work and in their calling in this world and bringing it everywhere they go with acts of love and justice and mercy in the community. So let's talk about where we are as a church, what has happened over the last year. And believe it or not, this was our first full calendar year here at the church. So this is the first time we've actually been able to reflect on a full year in one of these talks. So let's start with the idea of find and how we're doing in this area. In Ephesians 5, which was read, we hear that we are to follow God's example and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And this is so key. This is what we're introducing people to, is how much Christ loves us and the message that he gave himself for us. And then verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And we have experienced this, and that should fill us with a desire to help others find the light as well. So how are we doing when it comes to introducing more people to Christ and encountering him in new and in fresh ways? Although this category, of course, is by no means restricted to growth, growth is a good indicator of health, because when a church is functioning in a healthy way, God has just naturally designed it to grow and to keep drawing people into new and or deeper relationship with him. And these past 2 years have been seasons of unprecedented growth in the history of our church. So why and how do I say that? First, as I said last week, we had our first back-to-back years of growth since 2001 to 2003, which were the first 2 years in this building, and from everything that I've heard, kind of the height of growth in this church that nothing before it would match as well. But the percentage of growth over the two-year time span from the end of 2014 to the end of 2016 here, almost 20%, is the largest leap in attendance percentage-wise ever on record in a two-year period in this church. So you've just experienced and been a part of the biggest growth spurts in the history of this church. Now, I know that we were at a historic low at the end of 2004 before Hannah and I got here, so it doesn't mean we have more people than ever, but still, it's accurate to say we've never had this kind of growth momentum in the history of the church. And so it's an indicator that things are moving in a healthy direction. And that's an exciting thing. Christmas Eve, as we said, was the most we had for any kind of service since 2005. So 10 plus years. And the 115 people that were here is about almost a 50% increase over the Christmas Eve the year before. And the third most people on record for any service of any kind since 2001. So Easter kind of tells the same story. There were 91 people on Easter Sunday here last year, compared with 60 in 2005. So again, a 50% kind of increase in our reach. And these events can just be indicators of your reach. And that was the most people for a Sunday service in over 6 years. So our reach really is expanding. There's lots of evidence that tells us that. Our Christmas dinner and party outreach went from just over 50 to 85 people in the last year. So almost every month in 2016 saw an increase over the same month in 2015. So the growth has kind of been consistent through all seasons. So, you know, this growth, as you've probably, you know, felt, has not been some overnight explosion necessarily. It's been kind of a slow, steady growth, barely noticeable in some ways, about 10% per year. And I think that's often the best way to grow, because it's manageable growth. It's the kind of growth that we can develop in a healthy way. And I'm not sure if it would have been good for us, either Hannah and I personally or just the church on a whole, to kind of grow from 50 to 100 overnight in our first year here, because I'm not sure organizationally and structurally we were prepared to handle that, because there was lots of that kind of work that needed to be done. But the foundation is being laid and being built that will allow for continued consistent growth. It's also been a growth that kind of has two characteristics. Number one, our fastest growing demographic of growth is young people. Kids, teens, young adults, and young families. So that's pretty awesome. But perhaps because of that, number two, it's also been kind of a two steps forward, one step back kind of growth for us. A major step this past year was that for the first time in years, we were actually able to retain and involve some young people and young families, meaning they made a commitment to actually make this their church home. And that was a huge and significant step for us. However, that age group tends to be a little bit more mobile. And although I don't believe in luck in any way, it's hard to describe it in any other way except that we just kind of ran into some bad luck in a way at the end of the summer. So we had four families coming and committed on a regular basis at the end of the summer. And in the span of literally 1 month, and if you were here, you kind of felt it or noticed it, we lost three out of the four. A family of five moved to Victoria suddenly. A father and his daughter moved to Nanaimo suddenly. And then tragically, of course, one of our couples died suddenly, and the kids had to go to live with relatives. And so this was really a crushing period. All that happened in a short period of time. And I felt like, man, Lord, like we worked so hard to get to this point. I mean, it had been years kind of in the making and finally had some traction. And then seemingly overnight, it sort of felt like we were back at square one. And so I just kind of began to cry out and lament a little bit before the Lord. And almost as quick as those families left, suddenly we had a few new families starting to come in the fall. And so the Lord was kind of gracious in replenishing that a little bit. Sadly, again, some of those, you know, had to move away or other things. One family moved to Black Creek, but we're glad that they love us so much that they still make the drive often to be here with us. But so, you know, we've kind of, even despite that, still been able to contain that growth, even while losing. I think it was a good sign that all those who moved away really expressed one of their deepest regrets was having to leave this church, because they sensed that, you know, something special was happening there. So all that is not to overlook our growth in the categories of singles or empty nesters or the retired. I highlight the younger growth only because that was such a problematic area for so long and was mentioned so much when we got here as something that wanted to be addressed and came up in our interviews and all that kind of stuff. So we need to celebrate all this, not in a triumphant way, but I mean, come on, this is exciting. I mean, only 12% of churches in British Columbia are growing, and we're a part of one of those growing churches. So, I mean, I think that's something to be excited about, that there should be a sense of, yeah, I want to be a part of one of those churches that is growing, that is impacting people and the community. And so this is an exciting place to be. People are discovering Christ, and I really believe the best is only ahead of us in all those areas. So that's kind of the macro picture. So what's, you know, part of your part or our part, just as individuals together? Well, it's pretty easy stuff. I've kind of put it in these easy formats, but, you know, enter the church or our church. You know, just be here so you can know what's going on, feeling the heartbeat, knowing how to pray, being ready to minister to others, that there are people who are new to the church in general. There are people who are new to Christ. There are people who are seeking and not sure within our congregation. So get involved with them in their lives and be involved in creating this vibrant, welcoming community and embodying the love and the joy of Jesus to them. Expand our reach. Help us to, you know, continue to expand our reach, to tell people about our church, engage them in all kinds of different ways. I mean, maybe in the past, you know, people put signs in their lawn or, you know, bumper stickers on their car. Maybe in these days it's just, you know, liking the Facebook page and sharing events in that way or being involved in those sorts of ways that increases your visibility. I mean, you know, give the church 5 stars on the Facebook page or on Google or whatever, because those things actually matter because it increases your visibility in different ways and expand your visibility. And thirdly, engage our community. Invite people to be a part of what's happening here. There are lots of people, I find, as I'm just talking to people in the community, there are lots of people that are looking for a community. They're actually interested in maybe reconnecting with a faith they once had, or there are Christians who have no fellowship with the church and therefore are not living up to their potential in Christ. And of course, there are many who are just seekers. And so you are the key, of course, to continued growth, to reaching those peoples. So, of course, we're not after growth just for the sake of growth, because in the end, who would care if that was the case? We want to grow because we want to develop more disciples who are fully devoted, fully mature followers of Christ. And so the next two categories are more important, really, because they're the fruit of this first category. For the answer to how we're doing as a church lies more in our vitality, our growth and maturity and influence on our community more than numbers. So let's move into follow. So we want to introduce people to encounter Christ, but then we want to teach them how to follow Christ. So how are we doing in helping people to follow Christ in joyful obedience, to be on the path to loving him with all their heart, soul, and mind, and strength? It's, of course, harder to look at indicators here, and the evidence is kind of more anecdotal, but I strongly believe that as a corporate body, we're becoming more devoted and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And a few things kind of tell me this. So we did several series this year, and the two kind of biggest ones where we went through passages of Scripture were the Eat, Drink, and Live series from John 1 through 6, and then the series we're currently in that will restart soon, Hosea, A Love That Can't Let Go. And through these series, I feel like you could summarize it that we've been learning two things mainly that are so important. Number one, we've been learning to live as God intends. And then two, we've been learning to love as God loves. And these are so important. We've been learning to live as God intends and then to love as God loves. Our text from Ephesians this morning says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us." Of course, that's the challenge, right, that we saw in Hosea, that we saw in John, that man, God's love is so challenging, so radical, so scandalous, but then the challenge always comes back, will you love as I love? And then it says in verse 10, and find out what pleases the Lord. So hopefully as a community, it's not something we can do by ourselves, but we are discerning and finding out what pleases the Lord, what will bear the most fruit for his kingdom in my life. And we encourage one another and help one another to do that. So I think of our 1 Peter 4 kind of sermon series where we did three parts on pray, love, and serve out of that text. And verse 8, love each other deeply. And we're learning to do that together. And I've been totally challenged and transformed by these texts. And some of you have told me how you have been as well. And the application, you know, just each week from Hosea, those first three chapters of will you love like God loves? And I just kind of keep thinking about that constantly. And if you haven't listened to these series, of course, they're online. You can get ready to recontinue Hosea on February 12th. Looking forward to that. But as a part of this, we launched a new ministry or Bible study this year called Oceanside Midweek. And it has weekly prayer for the first 30 minutes every week, and then study for about 45 minutes or so. And we're going to continue this. And for those who have regularly come, man, I've seen great fruit in their lives and just the importance of weekly gathering together. And we want to add more in evening Bible studies and those sorts of things, but you kind of got to take it one step at a time when you're small and you have kind of one staff member split between Hannah and I and those things. But it's we're moving in the right directions there in some of these new things. It's probably worthwhile in kind of an address like this to point out under kind of the follow category that deals with obedience that for the second straight year, our giving also increased by about 5%. So that's good. Of course, that wasn't able to keep up necessarily with all we were doing and how we were growing, and the natural increase in expenses and bills in this cold winter has not helped, as I looked at the last hydro bill for the church. But it's still a sign of vitality and growth and obedience. And in some ways, our future will continue to depend on people joyfully obeying God and giving freely and generously because they love God and love his church and believe in the calling of the local church to bring flourishing to it and the surrounding areas. So your part in this area of following, of course, we need to continue to pray first and foremost, because this is where we learn to love as God loves. This is where our hearts are transformed, and particularly often in corporate prayer together. So praying at midweek, praying in our pre-service prayer that you're always invited to, praying at the monthly prayer meetings, our Unite services, being involved, sign up for the prayer newsletter so you know what's going on, prayer-wise in the church, submit your requests even. So that's important. Number two, if you can, faithfully commit to midweek, because that's when God kind of does that work in our hearts of just bringing us together. There's nothing fancy or sexy about it. It's just getting together. It's praying, studying the word in community, and being together regularly. And then thirdly, give, to continue to give. That general giving and faithful giving is tied to our ability to move forward in God's calling on this church And so those are just some of the things, of course, that we can just, you know, pretty easy weekly do on a regular basis. So we're helping people find Christ and follow him, ultimately so we as a people can flourish. Our text says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And my favorite definition of wisdom that I've mentioned many times is the patient and careful sorting out of what leads to life and what doesn't. Meaning, what brings flourishing for the kingdom of God and what doesn't? What are worthy tasks for my time and energy and talents and what aren't? And that wisdom gets acquired as life goes on and we work together for it. And so the Bible tells us, be careful how you live. Not as unwise, not participating in things that don't bring life or that kind of have neutral impact, but as wise, maximizing your ability for influence, making the most of every opportunity, it says, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So we want to flourish. Now, when I say flourish, I'm talking about our calling to bring hope, beauty, peace, and justice to those around us, to people, to families, to communities, to systems. The biblical word behind this is shalom. And shalom, it often gets translated peace. That's really a poor translation because shalom just means overall well-being. Shalom kind of means being everything God designed and created something to be, reaching its maximum potential. That's God's shalom, total well-being, a complete and utter flourishing. And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. He is the Prince of Flourishing. The heart of Jesus is to draw out every ounce of potential in you, in us, in his community, in his church. So we want to flourish. Our heart is to draw out every ounce of potential in this church, in its building, in this property, and most importantly, in people. Presenting you, as Colossians 1:28 says, as complete or fully mature. The Greek word here is telos. In its full end, to see us and you being everything God ever intended us to be as a church and as individuals. And that's our hearts. I mean, if you want to just open up Hannah and my heart, I mean, that's what's in our hearts. To just see you be everything you were possibly designed to be, complete and utter flourishing. And we'll do whatever it takes to get us there. And I hope you don't want to settle for just a nominal Christian life where Christianity is just kind of happening on the side of your life. No, we want you to maximize your potential in Christ to flourish and bring flourishing in your life, being the best version of yourself, of what you can be as it relates to who God intends you to be. So corporately, big picture, I think we are flourishing and we're bringing flourishing. We are bringing hope and joy and life and justice in our community in many new and exciting ways. And particularly this last year, one of the main things we're doing right now is through our involvement in the Arrington Elementary Breakfast Program, which is a new outreach that we launched this year. And some of you might be unfamiliar with the story of how this came about, but man, I really believe it was a supernatural thing. And there's a whole sermon on the story and the vision behind this outreach that's listed in the brochure, but it's an unbelievable opportunity to begin transforming our community, bringing joy to these kids, doing something important and blessing them and bringing and being the presence of Christ in this school on a daily basis. It's an act of justice and hospitality, and the potential to lead to more open doors and bless our community is limitless. But for now, we just want to be faithful in what we're doing and being asked to do and given the privilege to do. And so that's been awesome. And in addition to that, we've cared for an incredible amount of people through our care ministries this year. Our care fund, which is used to meet needs and bless others in our church and the greater community to essentially help people flourish. Listen to these numbers. In 2014, the care fund brought in $397. In 2015, the care fund brought in $1,012. In 2016, the care fund brought in $4,883. So that's awesome. This is just money that's 100% money that comes in and it goes out. It's all designated and targeted and above and beyond, you know, people's regular tithes and offerings. But I mean, I wish I had time to tell you the amazing stories of the people, the families, the others that we helped this past year. And it's a big part of why our reach has expanded, that we've been able to do some of these things. We were able to keep the homeless shelter open 3 additional nights this winter by raising $1,800 for that at our Christmas party. We gave out awesome care baskets to those in need at Christmas. We continued our work with the Crisis Pregnancy Center. We helped get people training and education so that they could advance in their jobs. We helped people with transportation. We provided groceries, all sorts of things to help people get back on their feet and flourish. There are so many stories of what we've been able to do, more than any other year, simply because of the generosity into the Care Fund. We're also bringing flourishing on a local, regional, and international level through our missionaries. And honestly, we have a new, now that started in 2017, new kind of roster, and it's all out on the bulletin there. And it's honestly, just personally speaking, probably the best, most balanced missions roster I've ever been a part of in a church. And so it's a joy to sow into our missionaries and our missions giving. Sort of changing directions a little bit. We've done a lot of work around the building so that it can be a greater blessing to our community and help groups flourish and bring life to them. And we're in a better position now than ever to use the facility to bless people and groups. So when I was here for the annual Narcotics Anonymous Christmas banquet, and they meet weekly in our building and we have a good relationship with them, and I saw the hundreds in here. And what this auditorium looked like with the new platform and the new lighting and how everything was set up. And I compared it to the year before when I was here. And it was just, it was a different feel. You know, I felt like, man, we're really able to be a better blessing to groups like this and what they're doing. And I know that they appreciate it as well. So what's some of your parts? I want to draw attention to the two brochures that have actually been around for a couple months, but we haven't really highlighted them, just kind of slowly started putting them out there. So the first one in your bulletin there is the Arrington Elementary brochure that kind of lays out what we do and some different things. So number one, I want you to keep this brochure, and I want you to keep it in your Bible or put it wherever to help you remember to pray about this ministry and this great outreach that we have on a regular basis. You can bring donations for this. Some people brought some this morning. There's a bin on the table that's always in the back, and it's listed in there what we need on a regular basis, because we've been asked to supplement the breakfast, which is a great opportunity. And man, what a chance to show the abundant generosity of God if we were just covering fresh fruit every day, had enough to cover that every day. And some of the things the kids particularly like are listed in that brochure. And you know, there's probably no reason that bin shouldn't be filled every week for the kids. I know strawberries are $10 a pound right now, but you know, we can do it. We can handle it, right? And there are some other things, you know, that you can bring as well. So what we want to do over the next 40 days or so is, because this is a key part of our church and what we're doing and what God is doing in our midst, we want just everybody, just over the next 40 days, to just go one time with no commitments, with no strings attached, with no asking, you know, can you go every week or whatever like that. We just want everybody to go one time so that you can see what it looks like, so that your imagination can be sparked to pray in different ways. And, you know, you can even go and just kind of observe if kind of the work's taken care of, or if not, if, you know, we don't have a volunteer that day, then you'll be busy spreading cream cheese and peanut butter and all that kind of stuff on the bagels for the kids. But I just want you to see these kids so that you can be praying about what's going on there. So there's a calendar located by all the Arrington Elementary information right there. And we're going to keep it out over the coming weeks. But I just want you to pick one day, and you can follow your brochure on, you know, what time you're supposed to show up and how it works. And Hannah's number's on there, so you can call her if you're, you know, nervous about going and don't know what to do or where to park or whatever. You can reach out to her. But just pick one day between now and I think it's March 3rd to go. And I think that would have a tremendous impact on us as a community, so that when we talk about it, we all have a picture in our head of what it is that we're talking about. So do that. That's kind of one challenge there. The second thing, kind of challenge or step in order to help us flourish, is there's a ministry opportunities brochure that's there in your bulletin. And this sort of just lists all of the possibilities. Some things are started and going. Some things we want to get going, but we just don't have the people to do them. And I don't want it to overwhelm you, because I really only want you to pick one thing, just one thing. Might be a pretty simple thing. And just kind of faithfully be a part of that and be passionate about that one thing and in it flourishing to the maximum of its ability. So you can, you know, of course, take it home with you and pray over it and look at it, or you can fill it out anytime and just drop it in the giving box, and then we'll kind of get in touch with you based on what that is. And then, as I said, everybody's invited February 1st, maybe just to discern what ministry area you might want to be a part of and come and hang out for that. But what's one thing you can be passionate about? It might not be something that takes place on a Sunday morning. It's not all about that, but maybe something that takes place behind the scenes or during the week, or sometimes that you can even do from home, different things. And then thirdly, of course, let's just continue this generous move in our care fund and our missions giving. These are gifts above your normal giving. There's also a donation bin, which is new, beside the giving box, because we do meet a lot of needs in the community, and sometimes people that we have, you know, the church actually has relationship with that we know need food or different things. So there's an opportunity for you just every week to put items, unused and non-expired items in there on a weekly basis. And then when needs arise, we'll be able to better take care of those. Even though our care fund is used to do some of that, it'll help us sometimes quicker take care of needs. So maybe just think every week when you're in the store, what's, you know, a couple things I can pick up, basically food bank type of items. If we didn't have anybody to give them to that week, the advantage here is it's a personal connection. But if we didn't have anything, then eventually it would go to the food bank. If not, so it will go somewhere. So as the band comes up, right on cue. So many cool ways to make a huge impact. I mean, your worship isn't just on Sunday morning. It's throughout the week at the elementary school. Your worship happens as soon as you walk in that door and you bring fruit for kids or donations for others or give gifts that bring flourishing. And I was thinking and just reflecting this week, and there was so much that I wanted to say today, so much to celebrate, and I had to kind of trim it down and barely scratch the surface. But I just kind of cried out to the Lord, you know, Lord, I just want to grow in the gospel with these people. And I can just only hope that somehow that's what you feel, that can somehow be contagious, that you would just say, you know what, I just want to grow in the gospel with these people. They're not the best group of people in the world that you're finding. You probably can find a better group somewhere, I'm sure. But you got to pick a group of people eventually and grow in the gospel with them. And I just want to grow in the gospel with you. And Hannah and I, we talk all the time. Yeah, it's been a lot the last kind of year, but we've had a blast growing in the gospel with you. Things that we're doing right now that we just never could have imagined a year ago or a year and a half ago. So I just want to grow in the gospel. I want to do something special together, something that we could never do on our own as individuals, but we can do together. And I believe we're on the right path, the right trajectory. So I encourage you to be all in. Let's learn to love like God loves, to live as he intends. So why don't you stand with me? We're singing a closing song, and just so you know, it's always available. If you just want to come up and be anointed for the work that God is calling you to do, to be bringing shalom or flourishing into your workplace, into your vocational calling that God has you in, or maybe your work here in the church. If you just want to be anointed for that work, it's an outward sign of the inward dedication and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, then I'd be glad just to anoint you with oil before you go, and you can come up and do that if you want. But otherwise, just open up your heart to the Lord. Pray and seek him, not only this morning, but throughout the rest of the week. Take these things home with you and discern from the Lord. And then we'll close with a benediction.